Okay, so first of all, you've been listening for a while. So can we please get the slides back on, the last slide with the reading, so Revelation 5, when we get to hear that glimpse of worship in the heavens. So what I would like you to do, if you can and would like to, stand, and we'll just imagine we are there among them, because one day we will be. And we're going to read out the praise in verse 13. Okay, so it starts blessing and honour. All right, that one. Can you see it? Blessing and honour and glory and dominion. All right, after three, one, two, three. Blessing and honour and glory and dominion to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. All right, now you can sit down. That's the interactive part over. You can rest and relax now. But do still pay attention, of course. Okay, so does this work? Yes, it does. All right, so today we're going to talk about victory. We hear that word a lot in church. So today we're going to look at how Revelation 5 helps us to understand that biblical definition of victory. Okay, so victory of the Lamb. So Revelation 5 is about a problem and an unexpected solution, or partly expected. And you know, my mum summed that up quite well, actually, when she did that fantastic reading. And the thing about Revelation, it's one of those things where when you get a reading from Revelation, sometimes you quake in your boots about how the sermon's going to go down, doesn't it? It's not quite like Deuteronomy or Numbers, when you get reading from that and you think, oh no, what's going to happen next? But Revelation can be one of those, because it's written in a certain style, certain genre, called apocalypse. From the Greek, apocalypsis, meaning unveiling or revelation. That's why we call this book Revelation. And this writing style is used in times of persecution, and it's deliberately symbolic. Okay, so you don't read Revelation for the first time and think, yes, I know exactly what those seven horns are, yes. No, it's symbolic, it's metaphorical, and it's for a reason. Okay, so but it does mean we can decipher them. You know, they're not nebulously symbolic. They are in a way that we can actually, if we unpick it, we can figure it out. And the book was written to the persecuted, the oppressed, the exiled church, to encourage them. So whatever we figure out about Revelation, as long as we're thinking, right, this was written to people who were suffering death, torture, horrible, horrible persecution, but it was written to encourage them. That'll give us a really nice framework for understanding the text. So, a lion or a lamb? Which one would you rather have on your team in a fight? Well, the answer is pretty obvious, right? You know, if you don't think about all we know about the Bible. Okay, so, you know, you naturally think of the fierce, powerful lion, don't you? But let's think about this text. So John is describing this glimpse of the heavenly realms when progress is halted, when there is a problem, when there is a scroll there that's really, really important, but it can't be opened. Okay, that's Revelation 5, verse 3. And this problem is so bad that John cannot stop weeping. Okay, it must be pretty bad then. So the elder in the heavenly realms then says to him to stop crying. Okay. This elder says, the problem can be solved by this regal and mighty lion who's descended from David. Okay, this is just a throwback to that Old Testament promise to David. Someone would always be on the throne from his line, from his family, meaning the Messiah would come from his family line. Okay, and our idea of victory hasn't really changed culturally since the time Revelation was written. Victory is all about winning, being powerful and mighty, right? Right? That's culturally what we're told, right? And that's culturally what John's readers would be used to around them. And, you know, this fierce, powerful lion imagery is exactly what you would expect would lead to the solution of this scroll being opened. But this sort of standard victorious image of this lion, this fierce leader, is actually not the image that we're given. We're actually given this idea of a weak, subservient, oppressed lamb, a slaughtered lamb. Now, I put a cute lamb up there, but actually the image of the lamb that we're being described is covered in blood and has clearly died and is somehow there, okay, has died a brutal death, right? But I thought I'd spare you from that this Sunday morning, giving you a nice cute lamb instead. Okay, so that's that. So this not very cute looking lamb, this subservient oppressed lamb that we read about in Revelation 5, is victorious. This lamb is the one who solves the problem and is able to open this seal. So the lion that the elder said to be expected is not actually how it works out. That's not what we end up seeing. We get told about this lion, and yet it's a lamb, and a slaughtered one at that. So this slaughtered lamb, if you haven't cottoned on yet, represents Jesus, right? And specifically, Jesus after his sacrifice on the cross. So, wow, that's quite an image, okay? So Jesus, the Messiah, the Saviour, is not showing himself as a lion, a powerful, fierce, mighty leader, but as a weak, subservient lamb. Okay, wow, that's quite a contrast, okay? Powerful, powerful image. And, you know, we know that many of the Jews who were suffering over this Roman oppression, they were expecting the Messiah to be this military leader who would save them. You know, that's not kind of how it worked out in the end. Jesus was a servant king. And, you know, John is saying that actually the real victory is from this brutal sacrifice of the Messiah and the servant king, Jesus. And it's what he accomplished on the cross that leads to victory. So it's not actually the flaunting of power, it's not the use of violence over others who serve under him. You know, this whole point of this lamb's death is to clear our debts, to redeem us for what we owe, for our wrongdoing that we've done, our sins. You know, actually, this clearing of our debt comes from this sacrificial lamb. Okay, so whereas Jesus could have come and said, right, you all owe a debt, you've sinned, you've done wrong, actually what happens is this lamb serves us and shows this sacrificial love towards us. And he does this through the ultimate act of service, submission and sacrifice. And actually, this is a radical new understanding of the nature and function of power in the world, isn't it? It's not actually the lion, as you might expect. It's the sacrificial lamb, this service, submission, and sacrifice. And this moment in Revelation 5 is considered so significant that a fantastic theologian called Gordon Fee labelled it as one of the great moments in Christian theology. So we really probably should be taking this idea of this flipped power dynamic on board. So let's unpick that a little bit more. And actually, the rest of Revelation is the unfolding of this lamb's victory that's revealed here in Revelation 5. And at the end of the book in chapter 22, the throne is referred to as the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we have the victory, okay? We're standing with Jesus. Jesus won the final victory for us. Jesus gives us the option to clear our debts because of his sacrifice. Wow, that's pretty amazing. And Revelation 5 makes it really, really clear and that we can be on this winning team. And importantly, it's looking forward to this final, eternal redemption of God's people, us, if we choose to follow him. So through the Lamb, God's revealed himself to us. So God's been very clear what he is like by saying, I'm this self-sacrificial, loving, subservient, oppressed, weak, not very weak, but what you might expect as weak, lamb, okay? And you might call that revealing of himself an unveiling, a revelation about the very nature of God. Makes it sound like John did name his book appropriately. You know, so God has very much offered himself in this sacrificial way for the eternal redemption of anyone who chooses to follow him. So for us to be able to clear our debt, we don't have to sacrifice our best crops or our best animals anymore. That's not how it works. That veil was torn in two. We can go directly to God and say, thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Please cleanse me. Please take away my debt, and I will serve you in payment. So the tricky thing about this, though, is that we're not at eternity just yet, okay? You know, we live in a time between Jesus's first coming and his sacrifice on the cross and his second coming and his final redemption of mankind. So, you know, it's a bit tense, really, to be living in this time, in this kind of between-y time, before we sort of see the new heaven and earth. And we know that the ultimate victory of redemption, the ultimate clearing of our debts, is assured for us. We can be confident in that if we're following Jesus. But by nature of free will, being able to make that choice to follow Jesus or not follow Jesus, through human wrongdoing and the work of Satan and evil spiritual beings, there will be times when we don't feel quite so victorious. Okay? And we need to acknowledge that, really. But even in times when we're not feeling quite so victorious, the Lamb can bring us so much hope and so much comfort in those times. So let's keep holding on to the Lamb. So my second point, and there are only 2 points, it's just that both are quite substantial. A church full of lambs. Again, nice, sweet lambs, but really is what I'm describing quite such cute lambs? I don't know. You can be the judge of that. So John is telling his readers, the persecuted church, that the Lamb is our example. So the Lamb triumphed over evil, and this is really important, by refusing to do evil and enduring what evil threw out at him. Okay? And in the same way, we, the church, can conquer the forces of evil through faithfulness, through sticking with God, through thick and thin, through endurance of all the circumstances of life that it throws at us. And goodness me, it really throws out some stuff, doesn't it? And through suffering love, just the way that the Lamb shows us. Okay, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But this is something that really hit me when I was reading this and studying this. And, you know, importantly, this living like a lamb is not a tactic to bring about some kind of militaristic kind of advantage, but rather it's a guide for how to weather the winning and the losing, which is part of the Christian existence. So the Lamb shows us that actually we can withstand the ups and downs that we face because despite what happens here and now, the ending is absolutely the Lamb's victory and we are on the Lamb's team. Okay? So we are victorious through the Lamb. And naturally, this is fantastic news. So worship erupts in heaven because of the Lamb's sacrifice, because the Lamb shows up and saves the day and is victorious. So the Lamb's sacrifice, paying for our wrongdoing, his victory clears our debt, and therefore, people are pretty happy about it. What a surprise, what a surprise. So this is not just a throwaway verse in the Bible, okay? Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Who are the saints? We're the saints. So John is telling his readers, your prayers are being heard. Wow, imagine that. Imagine people dying left, right, and center around you in the church, you not knowing whether you're going to live another day, and John is saying, Jesus hears your prayers. God hears your prayers. Your prayers change things. Okay? So this is a reminder to John's readers back then and also to us today that actually, you know, what we ask God for, what we talk to God about, that is all being heard and taken on board by God. Okay, so our prayers are not wasted. You know, yeah, they're not wasted. Never ever think that your prayers are wasted. Even if things don't happen the way that you might expect them to or the way that you'd like them to turn out, God hears your prayers, and those prayers do actually change the outcome. Even if the outcome isn't what we'd really like, okay? The outcome has still been changed. The outcome has been made better by our prayers, okay? But we might not see what that actually looks like right? Remember, this is a heavenly realm, and that's a separate realm to what's happening on earth. And, you know, there's this tension between all of this. So we need to focus on that encouragement, okay? So the grand hymn that's sung in Revelation 5, verses 9 to 10, points out that this victory is the eternal redemption of those created in God's own image. And the role that we get to have is this partnership with God, this relationship with God, when they will reign on earth, okay? We will reign on earth with God. So this is our goal, ultimately. This is our eternity, to be in this relational partnership with God. And we already get to benefit from so much of that here on earth. Even through our suffering, even through our pain, God is with us. And we benefit so much from that relationship that we can have with the Lamb. Wow. So although this scene does take place in the heavenly realms, it does help us understand what is taking place here on earth. And we find this a lot when we get revealed things about the heavenly realms in the Bible, like in Job. It actually illuminates a lot of our own circumstances and why things might be happening the way they are. So ultimately, the Lamb's sacrificial death and the witness of us, his followers, are God's strategy for winning as many people as possible from the kingdom of evil and Satan into his own kingdom, his kingdom being the one that ultimately wins. And this points to the value of us controlling our own minds and also sharing this good news with the people around us and helping get as many debts cleared as possible, because that price has been paid already. We just need people to choose that path and follow God. So we live under the banner of the Lamb. So we're not alone when we suffer, but it's really important that we stick to God through those ups and downs, and we stick to the church. And sometimes that's quite a tall order on both counts. Sometimes we can accidentally blame God, but it's not God's fault. You know, circumstances just happen. Trust me, God is working for your good. The Holy Spirit is constantly interceding. And if we pray, that changes things too. Okay? So when it comes to Satan and the forces of evil, violence isn't how we win. All right? We follow in the footsteps of the Lamb. And remember always that the suffering that the forces of evil cause leads to their own destruction. And we win through the Lamb and through living like the Lamb. Okay? But we mustn't misunderstand, okay? The church isn't just a passenger going up and down these waves of good and bad circumstances. That's not the message here. Actually, we have the power of actively bearing witness that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of Christianity are the path to victory and redemption. All right? The one and only path. And we get that. That is such an amazing, amazing benefit to the Christian life. We get to be involved in sharing that good news and living out that good news. Okay? And through our prayer and our study of God's word and our acts of love and sacrifice to God, we change our surroundings and we bring the kingdom of God ever closer, all right? And there's something else we can do to just remind us of this. You know, when we do bread and wine together, it's a reminder of the sacrifice of the Lamb, but it's actually also a huge reminder of the victory of the Lamb, what was accomplished on that cross, which has led to the option for us to say, hey, God, forgive me, okay, I've done wrong. But I want to follow you. I want to live like the Lamb. I want to weather the ups and downs, and I want to change them for the better as much as I can and as much as you can, God. Okay? So maybe next time you have bread and wine, think, actually, the Lamb is victorious and we're marching under the Lamb's banner. Wow. All right. So conclusion. Hey, we got there. We got there. So Christ redefined power. Whoa, totally flipped the whole concept, this cultural concept of power on its head. Jesus was countercultural. Jesus was not what you would expect from this amazing leader who would come and save his people and clear his people's debts. Actually, this Lamb lived very different life than what people would expect from someone who would represent ultimate victory. Yeah? So the Lamb is victorious over Satan and his evil forces. However, until we get to the new heaven and earth, until Jesus comes back, there will be ups and downs. And there will be suffering. It is part of life. It's part of the Christian existence. And sometimes it's, if you're doing good in your Christian walk, you might find there's a bit more suffering down the road, because you might find that actually, you know, people want to bring you down. You know, the forces of evil might want to stop you in your path. But at least we're not walking out of church and being attacked by Romans. We can always take some comfort in that, can't we? Maybe. So, you know, evil spiritual beings bring about their own downfall and destruction by causing suffering. You know, it's very easy to get really mad when somebody is being particularly awful to you, and it could be an attack, you know, it could be a spiritual thing, but it might just be a person making some really awful choices and you're suffering as a result of that. But what we need to take comfort in, and what we can take comfort in, and it's wonderful that we can take comfort in this, is that actually, you know, we are under the banner of the Lamb. We have that ultimate victory. Whatever happens on this earth, you know, we get to benefit. When Jesus comes back, we'll be the first down, bending our knees, saying, "Yes, Jesus, I can't wait for that new heaven and new earth." All right, so I know sometimes it's a bit hard to take comfort in thinking, "Oh, don't worry, Jesus is coming back one day," because circumstances can be a lot, can't they? They really can. But try and take comfort in that, because actually it is a massive comfort. You know, all of our actions here, God knows. God knows if you show kindness to that person in your life who is not showing you kindness. God knows if you're keeping praying for something to happen, and God is working for that outcome to be better. Okay, so we as the church, we're called to overcome through faithful witness in suffering, witness sharing the good news. And you know, we have to stick to God in the good times and the bad. And there are some ways we can do that that we've talked about. Prayer, we've heard that that changes things. We've heard that that is in the heavens being heard directly by God. Wow, okay. So every single thing we say, God does hear, okay? And it does affect the outcome. So keep praying. Learning and studying the Bible. So Revelation is all about the unveiling of God. If we understand God better, that helps us to live a better life. So let's understand who God is a little bit more. Let's always focus on his love for us, his image of himself as the Lamb, and what that tells us about how we should be reflecting Jesus and the Lamb in our lives too. Through sharing the good news, through bearing witness to people, through saying, "Hey, I march under the banner of the Lamb, want to join me?" Well, that's probably a bit of a metaphorical way of inviting people to church, but you know what I'm saying. So, you know, share that good news with people, and do remember that you are sharing the aroma of God wherever you go, okay? And lastly, and this is a toughie, avoid doing evil. You know, when the world tells you, "Well, it's not evil, is it? It's your own truth anyway." And, you know, evil's such a harsh word. Oh, it can't be evil if it feels that good. You know, it's very hard to shut out those voices when they're all around you. But there was nobody more countercultural than Jesus. There was nobody more different than the Lamb. The Lamb who was victorious. Wow, okay, so that's how we're supposed to live, okay. Small order then, a small order. All right, so this is how we get to actively participate in this ultimate victory and bring as many people with us into God's kingdom. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, that you are victorious. And thank you, Lord God, that you invite us to walk in victory with you. Thank you that you walk with us through the ups and downs of the life that we lead. And we thank you that when we pray to you, you hear us, Lord God. And I thank you so much that you are working for us, that you are interceding for us, that you are making things better than they would have been without your involvement, without our prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for being with us. In Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord God, over everybody here, that they will feel your victory, that they will feel your Holy Spirit on their lives, on their families' lives, on the people around them, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will flow out and radiate from them, and that these people might see that they are bearing witness in faithful, suffering love to you, to your principles, to who you truly are as the Lamb who is victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.